You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today we're focusing on the race for the Jackson County Board of Commissioners Position 3. Joining us in the studio is one of the two candidates, Isabella Lee Tibbetts. The incumbent is Colleen Roberts. She's occupied the seat for more than a decade. We invited her to participate in our candidates forum. She declined. Isabella Lee Tibbetts was raised in Jackson County in a working-class home by parents who worked in agriculture and healthcare. She grew up in Phoenix, Oregon, and graduated from the Phoenix Talent School District. Today, she's a community organizer and mother of two. Isabella is running for the Jackson County Board of Commissioners Position 3 on the platform theme of progress over politics, results over rhetoric. Her campaign highlights emergency preparedness, affordable housing, public safety, and transparent county government. Welcome to the Exchange, Isabella.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I understand you have indigenous roots with the Quechua people of South America, and you grew up in a working-class household here in Jackson County. Now you're raising your own family in the Rogue Valley. So how does your background inform the perspective you would bring to the Jackson County Board of Commissioners?
So as a millennial and somebody who has been raised in Jackson County, I have a lot of lived experience of understanding what accessing social programs like WIC and OHP healthcare have and how instrumental they are in just the health and progress of a family. So also being a community organizer for the past 8 years with different nonprofits here locally, and as well as volunteering as a child, I've really seen changes in Jackson County and how our county has evolved and how in order to continue looking at the future of the progress of Jackson County, it's going to take an outside perspective and somebody who understands what low-income families, communities of color, and younger families are facing in today's world.
So people who are part of the most vulnerable populations of our county, do they see themselves represented very often in power?
No, especially locally. When we look at the makeup of the Board of Commissioners, especially my incumbent who has been there for 11 years, that's kind of one of the reasons why I decided to run is I didn't see representation, and I haven't for quite a while. And so that was really kind of a wake-up moment as to why I wanted to run, to show people that they can, even without any political background. If you just have a cause that is near and dear to your heart and you believe strongly enough for it, then you can achieve it.
Well, your campaign centers on the idea of progress over politics and results over rhetoric. What specific changes do you want voters across the county to see in how our county leadership actually operates?
Well, first and foremost, I think that the biggest thing is transparency, especially with the decline of heritage media like the Mail Tribune. There is real no accounts for how the Board of Commissioners are making decisions, and that's information isn't readily available unless you know where to go on the county website or are able to attend the Board of Commissioners meetings that happen at 9 a.m. or even the work sessions. And the work sessions are where the decisions and are made and all the information is given. And not a lot of people know that. So really, I am running to bring transparency back. And one thing that I would do when elected would be to hold monthly town halls to give give our residents the information that they need on the decisions that the Board of Commissioners are making to really get their input.
So monthly town halls would create that transparency, yeah. But it would also create a two-way conversation.
Absolutely. And that is one thing that is lacking right now. We see the Board of Commissioners or don't see them making decisions and just rubber stamping things without asking questions, without really seeing who is at the table as well when making decisions that affect not only my future, but the future of our children.
Okay. And so sometimes those decisions affect different populations in the county differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you've shared your personal experience during the 2020 Almeida fire, holding your four-month-old child while realizing the county was unprepared for a wildfire of that scale. In what ways did the county communications fall short?
For me, the biggest one was that I had to resort to Facebook Live to find the trajectory of the fire. And at the time, my husband was working at Leave Your Mark, which was destroyed in the path of the fire. And so I was trying to get a hold of him, as well as watching the Facebook Live to see where it was. While my parents also lived close to the fire route, and they were evacuated, but that was how I was able to track where the fire was going. And to me, that showed that our emergency system needed work. And when people have to rely on social media to get that information, there's something that's wrong there.
And how would you approach that problem with the solution?
Well, I think that was a big lesson for people and for the county. And they have made significant progress in updating emergency management, in making sure residents know what zone they're in, how to sign up for emergency alerts. But I think there's more that the county can do in training and preparing residents for what to do if a wildfire like that happens again, how to evacuate. Because one of the things we also saw was gridlock, people trying to leave, and roads were congested. Even the back roads were congested in Central Point. And my sister and her family were evacuated from Central Point from the fire that was over there. So it really showed also kind of a hole in our infrastructure as well. So I think the county really needs to look at preparing residents and providing more information for them on how to pack a go bag, what important information you should take if you're given like a moment's notice that you have to get out. So I think that is one thing that we can really strengthen. And as a community organizer, that's one thing that I do and I've seen the power in, and that I think the county can do much stronger in.
Well, that certainly resonates with me. My wife and my family, we were caught in that gridlock coming out of Central Point back then. What kind of updates would you push for in the county's emergency preparedness plan to ensure that it's accessible for every resident?
I think bilingual information is incredibly important, given that there are different communities who might not even understand English. I think we have to have all this information available for them as well. And I think it's going to take just having it, even if it's community trainings that are open to different communities and cities, to be like, this is what the landscape that you're in. If a wildfire comes at you, this is how, as a city and as a county, we can be best prepared.
My guest is Isabella Lee Tibbetts. She's running for Jackson County Board Commissioner Position 3. The incumbent is Colleen Roberts. She declined to participate in today's candidates forum. Isabella, as someone who understands the financial strain on renters and first-time homebuyers in this region, what ideas would you advocate for to modernize the zoning laws that encourage affordable housing development?
When I talk about affordable housing, I really think that it's going to take a kind of a roundtable solution, which is bringing developers in, bringing residents in, but also farm owners who own a lot of the land, and some of the land cannot be zoned for residential use or for development. And I've heard that some landowners want to sell their land, but they just can't. And so I think in order to address housing affordability, we have to have everybody at the table and then look and try to identify solutions in how we can get more affordable housing and more multifamily, multi-generational housing available, so that as the population is growing older, we can find ways to stay together as families but not constrained in small spaces.
Would that be part of those conversations in those town halls that bring people together rather than fragment it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So how can county commissioners balance local housing expansion with community input? How can those two come together?
Well, I think first and foremost, they have to be willing to listen. They have to be willing to go into communities that are really struggling, whether it's in Medford, in White City, where I live, and there's a lot of development happening. I think those conversations are going to have to take the county commissioners going and seeing these low-income communities and really seeing the need for that, and we're not seeing that.
You don't think they know?
They probably know to some extent, but I don't know if they've actually been out there to walk through, some of the mobile homes that are in Ashland or some of the trailer parks in White City.
So do you think that the solution to the affordable housing problem comes from the bottom up?
Yeah, I think it's going to take everybody to address this. And it's not just going to be three county commissioners. It's going to take residents who really are understanding how higher rents are impacting their availability to stay in their homes or even mortgages. My husband and I bought a house in White City, and at the time, it was the only affordable place that we could find. And as two people who were raised in Phoenix Talent area, that's where we would have liked to be. But the fact is, after Almeda, it's very hard to get a home there or even to return families who had been displaced.
So let's talk about your public safety platform, which calls for equipping the sheriff's office with effective tools while simultaneously investing in prevention for mental health and substance abuse. How do mental health services help reduce the burden on our local jails and courts?
In order to address public safety, we have to look at the root cause of a lot of the cases that sheriffs are being called out to and even city police are, and that is mental health or addiction services more often than not. And so I think in order to address really making sure our law enforcement is supported, we have to find ways to address the holes in the mental health services, and especially as the first of the year is coming and we're going to see more and more budget cuts, we're going to have to really identify where and if we can afford to cut services. And one of the things I've heard is that that's one thing that the sheriff's department will have to look at, and that could really be detrimental to response time, to having enough patrollers out to take care of the whole county.
Well, across the state, many of the counties are running in the red. Mm-hmm. Jackson County's not. Fiscal responsibility and a balanced budget is a high priority with the county board. How will you balance the fiscal responsibility with funding these essential preventative and emergency services you just talked about?
Great question. And we're in a good state that we are not in the red. And that is a lot to the county commissioner's work. But I think there's fiscal responsibility, and then there's holding on to money that we really need to invest into our communities through social services, through animal control, through all the aspects that the Board of Commissioners are in charge of. And so as the board president of a local nonprofit, I have had the opportunity to really understand how a budget works and how a balanced budget ensures that we're able to continue to do the important work that we're doing. And so I think that's going to be what it's going to take to look forward into realizing the times that we're going to be facing and how these important services we still need to continue to keep funded.
Okay, in our last 90 seconds, I want to get a couple more questions in. You've stated that every resident deserves clear communication on where their tax dollars go and a direct say in county decisions. What steps will you take to keep our local government accountable and responsive, regardless of political affiliation?
When elected, I fully believe in having an open door policy and being completely reachable and responding to residents with the questions that they ask.
Okay. And what's your vision, overall vision, for Jackson County?
Overall, it is to make sure that Jackson County is staying safe, and we are protecting our environments and what makes Jackson County so special for future generations. And I think it's going to take somebody of my age and generation to look forward to see that the importance of that and to be able to look outside of the box when problems are faced, when we're facing problems, and to think about creative solutions on how we can address those.
And you're bringing a unique lens to the office. Tell me, why are you the best candidate to deliver honest, community-first leadership?
I have so much lived experience here locally, but also I've seen communities internationally, and I think that will help me maneuver the forward parts of managing the county and also really relying on the community's input.
Okay, well, we appreciate it. That's all the time we have. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
My guest was Isabella Lee Tibbetts. She's running for the Jackson County Board of Commissioners, Position 3.